Welcome to the big interview on Money Life, and I'm very pleased to be joined right now by Doug Roberts. He is the Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. He may be best known for his book. He's author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. And if you want to learn more about Doug or his book, go to channelcapitalresearch.com. Doug's on Twitter. He is at Doug S. Roberts, but right now he rejoins us on the show. Doug, it's been a little while. Welcome back to Money Life.
Chuck, always a pleasure to be on with you.
So we have been watching as the Federal Reserve has been going through its rate cycle and raising rates, and now we've had this little market meltdown. Now, it kind of feels by now that it's past history because we're about a week out, but it's not distant memory. And some people are saying, hey, you know, whatever kind of downturn we're going to see now and next, it's being fueled by the Fed. So if we're supposed to be following the Fed to investment success, what does that tell us we should be thinking now?
I think what you're seeing is this bears more the marks of a correction as opposed to something that would be more severe. Not to say that a correction can't be quite severe and quite scary. And we talked about what happened in the last couple of days. That may not necessarily be over, and it may continue. But it bears all the hallmarks of a correction. It appeared out of nowhere. It was very, very scary. And it seems to be triggered by events or fear of an event as opposed to an actual event. So, you know, those are kind of some of the hallmarks of the correction. Also, 'tis the time of the season for corrections. Usually these corrections occur roughly around September, October. And I was saying, generally, at this point, it usually happens leading up into a midterm election. It was a bit late, so I thought maybe we might avoid it this time. But for those of you who want to see a bright side of this, usually when we avoid corrections during a midterm election year, it then becomes more severe when we experience it, you know, later on. We saw this in 1987, even though 1986 was relatively benign. 1987, we had a correction that basically scared everyone to death. Some people say it was a bear market, but it was one of the shortest bear markets in history because of the reaction of the Fed. So this seems to be following the typical pattern for it as well. I think at that point, you know, you went a long period of time without having any pullback at all. And basically the traders were looking for an excuse to lock in profits, and the Fed gave them that excuse with kind of some hawkish language by Chairman Jay Powell.
But we have a little bit of pressure coming from an unlikely source, or maybe it's a likely source if you consider the politics. And I don't like to get too political in discussing things these days, but you have to at this point when it comes to President Trump, because President Trump, who's repeatedly taken credit for the market's increases since he took office, was blaming the Federal Reserve, but not himself, for the market's drop. To me, with my background in economics, it's kind of proof that he doesn't have any idea what he's talking about, because the Fed controls short-term interest rates, not long-term interest rates. And if the Fed did some things that Trump wishes they would do, we'd actually potentially be in much worse shape. But how big a wild card is that? Because it's been a long time since we saw any Fed chairman facing presidential pressure, and you got to imagine you're facing something right now.
Man, generally, I mean, I somewhat disagree with that, because I think the Fed is a political animal unto itself. Normally, these things take place in back rooms very, very quietly, as opposed to, you know, on Twitter and in the social media. That's really the big difference. So it's more case of form over substance. The only time where you really saw anything come close to this was really, actually after the fact, when Bush 41 basically said that Alan Greenspan was responsible for him losing the 1992 election. But, you know, the Fed is basically a political animal. Fed chairman, you know, their tenure is really determined by, at that point, you know, the president themselves. I think the real big difference here is if you look at in the past, let's say Alan Greenspan, Ben Bernanke, Janet Yellen, they're all economists. They're all academics. And really, Jay Powell is not an academic. He's a business person. So for the most part, he doesn't mince words. He doesn't speak, I guess the term was in Greenspan speak, or, you know, kind of the kindler, gentler version of Greenspan speak, which was Bernanke and Yellen speak. So at that point, he's quite blunt. And then you have a president who, as I said, instead of doing this quietly, prefers to do it more openly. Generally, you know, the Fed is with, I just don't think there's really been that many changes. I think it's really a question of form over substance unless we see something substantial change. It was interesting because actually, despite the hawkish comments, you know, from Chairman Powell, things backed off the moment we saw the CPI numbers come out, where it wasn't as strong as people anticipated it to be. And then people started thinking a bit more rationally that maybe, okay, he's going to continue to raise rates, but he still is cognizant of the economy. And right now there isn't really a lot of fuel forcing him to put more gasoline on the fire.
Well, but it should be pointed out that the Fed is not raising long-term treasury rates, right? Long-term treasury rates are breaking through the low yield levels that we've seen that were artificially kept low for a long time. The Fed's not raising those rates. It's just letting those rates kind of seek their natural level.
I think in some cases that's true, but there's also a caveat with that. What you have to realize is the Fed did something unusual the last cycle, and that was called quantitative easing. They actually inflated their balance sheet much more than we've ever seen really in the history. They used unconventional means to deal with it, and we're now starting to reverse that as well. And I think one of the things that's underlying this is Chairman Powell has said there's not a lot of transparency as to what's going on there. There's not a lot of precedent, but he says it will continue. And I think almost the unconventional unwinding actually unnerved the markets more than the conventional. That, in a way, is a positive, because if you look at it, the yield curve is slightly steeper than it was a month ago, simply because what we're finding is even though short-term rates are rising, long-term rates are rising even more. So that actually lessens the odds of an inverted yield curve, which, you know, has historically been an arbiter of a recession and, you know, a prolonged bear market. So even though it's painful and it may lock in it may prevent, let's say, future gains or them being very, very narrow to a limited number of stocks, which we think can probably be growth stocks, you know, it's still not something which is going to kind of, if you want to call it, throw the economy into a recession. There's still plenty of liquidity out there.
Yeah, and if things happen and we can avoid an inverted yield curve, even though, I mean, we know it does kind of portend problems, it's not necessarily the worst thing that can happen. We know that at some point, you know, recessions and everything else have not been called off. So for you right now,
I think the key here. I think the key is, you know, if they continue, an inverted yield curve remains a possibility. But at this point, the only analogy that I can make is back in the early 90s, you know, Chairman Greenspan talked about irrational exuberance in 1996, and that didn't come back to haunt us for another couple of years. And right now, if they continue along this, there's a distinct possibility it could occur a year, 2 years from now. But at that point, it doesn't look to be imminent.
Yeah. So I was about to ask, you know, the big danger for you. And is the big danger for you right now when it comes to the Fed that just the Fed kind of misreads or mistimes things? They misread the tea leaves or they mistime when they're supposed to stop this or, you know, how they're supposed to rein in inflation?
Yeah, that's really it's not so much on the inflation side, it's on the monetary tightening side. The only analogy that I can use with this is in 2007, 2008, the Fed actually started easing. It just didn't ease aggressively enough to basically to basically cushion, you know, the financial crisis. And it wasn't until later on, when the market decline was kind of almost in free fall, that they started kind of accelerating it. So it's not even necessarily a case of direction. It can be a case of speed or acceleration. And what they may happen is they may not be able to turn tail quickly enough. And even if they turn tail quickly enough, and let's say shift to a monetary easing program, then that might necessarily be able to stop everything. And if you look at it, the Fed's track record, despite all the technical innovations, is somewhat mixed with that. And the big thing is really the quantitative easing, which we have minimal history on.
Doug, this is complicated stuff, and I always worry that it'll bog down. And then I get to the end of chats with you, and I go, but wait, I have more questions, and I don't have more time. So thanks so much for taking the time out. We know that you're watching the Fed, and we know that we're going to rely on you to help explain it to us down the line. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Always a pleasure, Chuck. I look forward to it.
Doug Roberts, everybody. He is Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. ChannelCapitalResearch.com for more information on him, the firm, his commentaries, and his book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success. He's on Twitter at Doug S. Roberts. All right, we just hit the halfway poll on the October 18th edition of Money Life. But halfway, come on, it's like we barely got started. Up next, Greg McBride from Bankrate.com will be here talking about their latest consumer survey. And then Tom McIntyre from McIntyre, Friedman & Flynn with the market call. This is Money Life.